Frustration was in Beller's voice. Not angry or bitter. This was the gentle, genial frustration of an uncle who can't get something through a nephew's head. We seemed so smart. Why didn't we believe in God?
We're observing the Sconic discipline, Archibald told him,
happy and a bit relieved to have been given an opportunity to clear this up. He was too optimistic, I thought, too confident he could get Beller to see it our way.
It's not the same thing as not believing in God. Though, he hastily added, I can see why it looks that way to one who's never been exposed to Sconic thought.
I thought your discipline came from Sant Cardus, said Beller.
Indeed, one can trace a direct line from the Cartesian principles of the old Mathic age to many of our practices, but much has been added and a few things have been taken away.
So I guess Scon was another Sant who added something?
No, a scone is a little cake.
Beller chuckled in the forced, awkward way that extras did when someone told a joke that was not funny.
I'm serious, Archibald said. Sconism is named after the little tea cakes. It is a system of thought that was discovered about halfway between the rebirth and the terrible events, the high watermark of praxic age civilization, if you will. A couple of hundred years earlier, the gates of the old maths had been flung open, the avowed had gone forth and mingled with the seculars, mostly seculars of wealth and status, lords and ladies. The globe by this point had been explored and charted. The laws of dynamics had been worked out and were just beginning to come into praxic use.
The mechanic age,
Beller tried, dredging up a word he'd been forced to memorize in some souvenir a long time ago.
Yes.
Clever people could make a living in those days just by hanging around in salons, discussing metatheorics, writing books, tutoring the children of nobles and industrialists. It was the most harmonious relationship between,
us and you,
Beller suggested. Yes, that had existed since the golden age of Ethros. Anyway, there was one great lady named Barito, whose husband was a philandering idiot, but never mind. She took advantage of his absence to run a salon in her house. All the best metatheoricians knew to gather there at a particular time of day when the scones were coming out of her ovens. People came and went over the years, so Lady Barito was the only constant. She wrote books, but as she herself is careful to say, the ideas in them can't be attributed to any one person. Someone dubbed it Sconic Thought, and the name stuck.
And it all got incorporated into your discipline, what, a couple of hundred years later?
Yes, not in a very formal way, though. More as a set of habits, thinking habits, that many of the new avowed already shared when they came in the gates.
Such as not believing in God,
Beller asked. And here, though we were driving on fair level ground, I felt as I would have if we'd been on a mountain track with a 1,000-foot cliff to one side, which Beller could have spilled us into with a twitch of the controls. Archibald was relaxed, though, which I marveled at because he could be so high-strung about matters that were so much less dangerous.
Studying this is sort of a pie-eating contest, Archibald began.
This was a fluckish expression that Leo, Jezri, Archibald, and I used to mean a long, thankless trudge through a pile of books. It completely wrong-footed Beller, who thought we were talking of scones, and so here Archibald had to spend a minute or two disentangling these two baked goods references.
I'll try to sketch it out, Archibald continued, once they'd gotten back on track. Sconic thought was a third way between two unacceptable alternatives. By then it was well understood that we'd do all of our thinking up here in our brains,
he tapped his head,
and that the brain gets its inputs from eyes, ears, and other sense organs. The naive attitude is that your brain works directly with the real world. I look at this button on your control panel. I reach out and feel it with my hand.
Don't touch that,
Beller warned. I see you seeing it and having thoughts about it, and I conclude that it's really there, just as my eyes and fingers present it to me, and that when I think about it, I'm thinking about the real thing.
That all seems pretty obvious, Beller said.
Then there was an awkward silence, which Beller finally broke by saying, in good humor,
I guess that's why you called it naive.
At the opposite extreme, there were those who argued that everything we think we know about the world outside of our skulls is an illusion.
Seems kind of smart-alecky more than anything else,
Beller said after considering it for a bit. The Skonics didn't much care for it either. As I said, they developed a third attitude. When we think about the world, or about almost anything, they said, what we are really thinking about is a bunch of data, givens, that have reached our brains from our eyes and ears and so forth. To go back to my example, I am given a visual image of that button, and I am given a memory of what it felt like when I touched it, but that's all I have to work with, as far as that button is concerned. It is impossible, unthinkable, for my brain to come to grips with the actual physical button in and of itself because my brain simply does not have access to it. All that my brain can ever work with are the look and the feel, givens piped into our nerves.
Well, I guess I see the point. It doesn't have that smart-aleckiness of the other one you mentioned, but it seems like a distinction without a difference,
Beller said. It's not, Archibald said. And here is where the pie-eating contest would begin, if you wanted to understand why it's not. Because, starting from this idea, the Skonics went on to develop a whole meta-theorical system. It was so influential that no one has been able to do meta-theorics since then without coming to grips with it. All subsequent meta-theorics is a refutation, an amendment, or an extension of Skonic thought. And one of the most important conclusions you arrive at if you make it to the end of the pie-eating contest is that
there is no God.
No, something different and harder to sum up, which is that certain topics are simply out of bounds. The existence of God is one of those.
What do you mean, out of bounds?